Come on, turn it up.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello there, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura joined by my compatriot Jason Gibbs here in Tampa, where the Browns have just concluded their first of two joint practices before they face the Buccaneers for Game 3 of the preseason Friday night right here in Tampa. It was hot out there. The heat index north of 100 degrees, Gibbs. A scorcher in Tampa.
At 6:30 this morning, I get on the bus to come to the facility. We had to get here to test everything and make sure everything was good to go. It was 85 degrees and the heat index was 92. And the sun wasn't even up yet.
Yes, it is. It was very hot down here.
Feels like 106 right now.
I'm not surprised by that. I believe it. This air conditioning, we want to thank the Buccaneers. We're actually at the Buccaneers headquarters. They set us up nicely. So big thanks to them. We're in an air conditioned room. Thank goodness. Yeah. But we've got a big show for you today. We're going to hear from head coach Hugh Jackson after practice. We're going to hear from Josh Gordon. We're going to hear from Terrell Pryor. Also, Andrew Gribble at 1:30. We'll take your calls, 216-578-0850, as we kind of go through everything we saw. A special guest at 2 o'clock today, someone that I have never had the pleasure of having on Cleveland Browns Daily.
I'm stepping away. It's so big.
Groundbreaking.
I'm literally going to set the two of you up and walk out.
No, I think you need to stay here. I'd like you
to
stay here.
Well, I'm going to stay right here.
Moral support.
You never know. The snark might get you.
It might come out after you. Doug Deacon, we might hear from the Deke as well in the second hour. So, big show. Okay, key takeaways. Let's just start with the practice. Last year, when the Browns traveled to Buffalo, it was so bad on the first day of practice that even you were getting heckled. The media was being heckled by the Bills players about what happened.
Me.
You. That you were called out. Hey, Browns guy. I believe it was something
Browns guy. Next year, tomorrow, can you have a little bit better effort? Can you give him a little pep talk? I was like, oh, my God, I got to get out of here.
So that was the day that I remember thinking either the Browns are going to be really bad this year or the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. And we know the Bills didn't win the Super Bowl, and we know the Browns finished 3-13. So
correct.
This year I was very interested to see how this joint practice turned out with the Bucs. And I think, if anything, the Browns certainly looked like the better team out there, offensively especially. Robert Griffin III, yes, he had a couple throws he'd want back. There was one interception that stood out. But for the most part, he looked very good. The ball was coming out quick. He was decisive. He was accurate. The completion percentage was very high. The ball was not hitting the ground much for the Browns offense. Defensively, it's tough when you're not fully tackling to see the ground game, but it looked like the run defense looked better today. And then in the pass defense, Jamar Taylor and Joe Hayden working as the ones. DeMario Davis had a tip pass that Hayden intercepted. Jamar Taylor got a pick. Dominique Alexander got a pick. They were making plays in that secondary, and Joe Hayden looked good. I think the big things for me, this was my first opportunity in a long time to see Joe Hayden play against another football team and to see Josh Gordon play against another football team. Josh Gordon, do you want to know my opinion? You want to get excited? I don't think it's even a rational excitement at this point. He looks big. He looks strong, he looks fast, and he looks, the word that I always describe, effortless. It looks like he is not trying. He's running by people, running around him, and then he caught one on a hitch and turned around and just kind of lowered a shoulder, like not even hard. The guy went flying. I mean, he looked good, and we got to see he and Pryor on the field quite a bit together, which was fun to see. Coleman was back out there, had a strong day of practice. Hawk was back out there, looked very quick. This offense, I am very, very, very excited about. But getting to see Josh Gordon out there, I just don't even know. It doesn't even – is it the Browns? Has the Browns lined up a Josh Gordon, Terrell Pryor wide receiver combination ever in terms of just size? And then you had Coleman out there. It was fun to watch. And this is a team in Tampa Bay that's got Brent Grimes, a very successful veteran corner. Oh, veteran! They've got Altron Werner, another very successful veteran corner. And then they drafted their first-round pick, Vernon Hargraves,
who
had two picks today and looked very good himself. So this was a good test for these receivers. They look great in the one-on-ones. They look great in the 7-on-7s, and they look great in the 11-on-11. So I was very, very excited and encouraged about what I saw. And just to see Josh against another team – awesome.
He caught the first pass in 11-on-11s, RG3 to Josh Gordon. And for a lot of the practice today, it was Gordon and Pryor lining up, and Coleman was with the second team.
Yes.
But the options, Duke Johnson, Crow, Barnage, Pryor, there are weapons. Gordon, Coleman, Hollywood Higgins had a few catches. Jordan Payton had a nice catch today.
He did.
It was one guy after another stepping up. I tweeted it out earlier. I don't want to put your phone on silent.
Shush.
I hate being guy in training camp that goes, wow, this team's amazing.
Okay, hold on one second. Wait, before you even keep talking, everybody knows you're not that guy. You're the show me state. You never get excited.
I was excited.
That's what I'm saying.
The offense is exciting.
My boy, you know who's excited?
It was awesome to watch him. I mean, there was one point they didn't have a drop pass. They didn't have an incomplete. They didn't have a bad throw. It was one after another. Bang, bang, bang. Right, left, middle, flat, near. Whatever they wanted to throw. They did whatever they wanted to do offensively today.
And they looked very good. And the comments coming out from Tampa's head coach, Dirk Cutter, about their offense, he thought that their offense had a bad day. So I know for a fact I watched our offense a little more than our D. I know our offense had a good day. When I did watch the D, I saw some flashes and certainly some turnovers, interceptions, etc. That's great to see. And this is a good team, a Tampa team that's ascending. Now, there were some big plays. Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, I saw both had some big plays. And
Mike Evans had a nice catch down the one sideline.
Yeah, he's a good player. But it was just, I think, overall a very positive day for the Browns and a completely different feel, just as everything has been different than a year ago, but certainly a different feel than that trip to Buffalo. And that's what I was looking for more than anything.
Night and day. I remember walking off the field. We were up in the press box to do Browns Daily. And we all sat there and went, what just happened? And it was just as hot, by the way, that day as it was today. And you sat there and you just were like, okay, maybe it's a bad day. Maybe it's a bad day. God, I hope it's a bad day. Because what happened that day was horrible.
I mean, even in the one-on-ones, it was insane. Yeah. And that did not happen at all today.
No,
and I'll tell you,
not
the
at
guy
all.
Who, you know, Hugh Jackson gave him an opportunity. He's elevated Jamar Taylor. And I thought in the one-on-ones, he was physical. He held his own. He had the interception, as I said, during the day. Jamar Taylor has looked good, and Tremont looked very comfortable sliding inside to that nickel position. And yet Hayden, who – haven't seen Joe Hayden. We talked about Gordon. Joe Hayden looked very good, very fluid, very strong, and very quick. I thought it was actually the best physically that I've seen Joe Hayden look in a long time. Now, he's got to stay that way. That's been the issue, is staying healthy. But he certainly is healthy right now. And all of a sudden, you know, you went around last year, and you watched this team, and you said to yourself – wait a second. Like, where are the stars? Where are the building blocks? Where is the excitement? Where's the excitement? And today you were out there seeing them against a Tampa Bay team that's got a Jameis, and it's got a Vincent Jackson, it's got a young Mike Evans, and it's got Doug Martin and Charles Sims, who they're excited about. And then you think about on defense, McCoy, Lavonte David, Werner.
And all those guys practiced today.
And they all practiced. I just found myself saying, okay, there are some real pieces here, and I don't want to get the fact I don't even need to say anything. If you're talking like that, people know that I should be like probably bouncing off the ceiling right now. I mean, Mo Pedman is like, he can't even be anchored to the ground, which is, he's defying gravity.
It was
he's
impressive
excited.
Today it, you know, you
and it was hot.
We've seen glimpses of it. We saw it in the scrimmage on that Friday night before we went to Columbus. Saw it a little bit on that Saturday, but like today was one of those steps forward that you're like, okay, I mean, there's seven or eight guys that can make plays with this football for this football team. Telfer had a good day catching the football.
Connor Hamlett had a very good day.
I was going to say, both those guys had a battle for that, you know, number two tight end spot behind Barnes. Those guys had good days. And we all know Hugh Jackson likes two or three tight ends.
Yeah.
On that offensive side of the football. And, you know, as options. And just the defense – You mentioned it, getting Hayden back, getting John Hughes back, which I think, you know, could go a long way to shoring up that run defense.
He's been a good run defender.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to be.
And Jamar Taylor's jumped two guys now to get this starting job. I mean, he's passed Tremont, and he's leapfrogged Justin Gilbert. I mean, that's impressive. And now you've got flexibility. You can put Tremont in the slot. I think he's better off in the slot anyways.
Yeah.
And you know, DBs have to have confidence, and that room seems to be growing with confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that is, I gotta say, is you never know what you're getting obviously, in when there's not full tackling, because tackling has been the problem for the Browns. But I thought overall just a strong day, and offensively, very strong performance and something that they want to build on. I know we got to talk with Hugh Jackson after practice, and he was very pleased with what he saw offensively, especially from RG3 and also from Joe Thomas taking leadership. They started off a little slow. I think it was hot. You got out there. And by the way, it was a lot earlier than this team is used to practicing. This team has not practiced at 10 in the morning at all this year. They've been practicing at 3 in the afternoon. 3:30. So I thought that it was a new thing. We just flew in last night, and they started a little slow. And Joe Thomas held them accountable and said, listen, follow me on Twitter at JoeThomas73, but more importantly, follow me on the field, and let's get going. And they picked it up after that. And I thought, all in all, just a good, good day. And what I like about it is, you know, you look at this receiving corps, and we talked about the big four. Hollywood Higgins continues to hold his own and run around like a veteran out there, not afraid of anybody, made a tough catch in front of Brent Grimes, who's a very physical corner. I think that he's looked good. It was an exciting day today, and I just got a question. Any Seth DeValve sightings? Yes, he was out there. You can see.
I saw him get trucked.
But you can see his movement skills.
Yeah.
When he's in space, he runs good routes. You could see how they could try to utilize him. But again, I just don't see are there going to be enough footballs for everybody? That's going to be a question, which is certainly not a problem we've ever had before here with the Browns. But a very positive day, I think, from Tampa, beating the heat, beating the elements. I think that it was a great tune-up or training for when you're going to have to go and do it for real against the Miami Dolphins early this season.
I was going to say, we all talk about the dress rehearsal game. This is more of a dress rehearsal for what you're going to get week 3 in Miami.
Which I think is a big game. I think, and they're all big games, especially when you're starting 5-7 on the road. The Browns have got to find a way to get a W, and that's something that they still haven't done. And I know Hugh Jackson. I watched him on that sideline last week. In that second half, he was starting to boil. He was not happy with what was happening on that field. And I know that, you know, we all got excited about what happened with the offense in the first half of that game, and it was great to see. But going forward, there is work to be done for this team, and I thought today was just a good step and a good barometer. And Gibbs is obviously excited. We'll hear from Andrew Gribble. We'll see what he thought. We'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. I see you guys are already starting to hit us up on the phones. We'll take those when we come back. So we've got it coming up for you. Gribbs at 1:30. We're going to hear from the head coach, Hugh Jackson. We'll take your phone calls. We still got Gordon. We've got Pryor. We got the Deke and a special guest at 2 o'clock.
When are we going to announce our special guest?
I think we'll announce it going into the break, right before.
I like it.
I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah, we'll keep them guessing. All right. We're back live from Tampa, where the Browns and the Buccaneers have finished the first of their two joint practices. They were in pads today. No pads tomorrow. The game on Friday down here in beautiful Tampa, Florida, where it is hot, it is humid, and I want to dunk myself in a pool ASAP.
Almost.
Almost.
We're soon. Almost there.
We're almost
soon.
There. We're almost there. Don't forget also tonight coming up at 7 o'clock all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, we will have the Hugh Jackson Show. Myself, Ken Carmen, we will talk with head coach Hugh Jackson. We'll also talk with Pro Bowl tight end Gary Barnes. That's tonight at 7 all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily right now on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, live and on location.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Jason Gibbs, live in Tampa, where the Browns concluded their first joint practice already in pads in the heat with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to go to the phones now. We've got Josh in Orlando with us. Josh, welcome to the show.
Yes, Nick, can you hear me okay?
Yes, what's going on, man?
Hey, I just wanted to call in a quick question, but first I just want to say, you know, I'm an internal optimist and glass, you know, half full, and if everything rolls our way, these guys really got a chance. I think you're starting to see the player development and acquisition on a different level, and if they do play up to their level, playoffs are not out of the question.
I think, you know, and listen, I'm as optimistic as anybody. I think that this is a young team, and I think that this is a season about developing. So I don't know that I want to say playoffs just yet, but I think that you're playoffs. I do think, however, that this team is like...
It's all just settled down.
It's building. And to me, this is a season about development. It's a season about flashes and making those flashes more consistent and about playing your best football as the season progresses.
And not only that, but you got 14 guys this year that have never set foot on an NFL field. For real, at least 14, maybe more, depending, because Dominic Alexander had a heck of a performance today. There are a couple undrafted free agents that I think are going to have a say in this 53-man roster before it's all said and done. And then how many draft picks do you have next year? Like, this is an evolving.
This is building a foundation.
I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. Now, don't get me wrong. Hugh and his staff would love to be on the fast track and
all Hugh wants
be
to
talking
do is win.
Playoffs. And
that's all he wants to do is win. Badly.
You asked him tonight. We'll on the Hugh Jackson show. Last question you asked Coach today, and we had to pre-record it because they were coming off the field and they're going to meetings and lifting and all this other stuff. And Coach said, "You said, what do you want? What do you want to see out of this dress rehearsal game?" He goes, "I just want to win. The last 2 weeks were brutal. They did not sit well with me. It was not a good feeling. I don't like to lose. And really, at the end of the day." Yeah, it's about getting better, and it's about improving, and it's about coming together as a team, but it only the biggest thing they care about, the W's. And they'll come. I believe in this coaching staff. I believe in this front office. They're starting to put the players on the field that you actually, you know, you can't just game plan for one or two guys now.
No.
On this team. We
had nobody you had to game plan for.
There are guys on this team that will keep coaches and D coordinators up at night. We haven't had that in a long time, probably since Gordon last played.
And then before that, I think you almost have to go back to 2007.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Hey, quick question.
Look, they look good.
Sorry.
I said it.
Go ahead.
I'm down here in Orlando. Do you know if the practice are open to the public tomorrow?
Yes, the practice was open to the public today. It'll be open to the public tomorrow. No practice Thursday, game Friday.
It was actually closed to the public today. It was all season ticket holders today.
Oh.
Tomorrow is
open to the public?
Tomorrow is open to the public.
Well, good, Gibbs. Good by you. All right, let's hear, though. You've heard from us, and I think you're exactly right, Gibbs. And to hear you excited gets me excited. I'm on, honestly. You never get excited.
I don't.
No.
I really don't until we actually start playing real football. And there were some moments on Friday night or Thursday night I was excited. There were some moments I was like, goo.
I just feel the one thing that I feel confident in that I have no doubts about, and that is that this is going to be it'll be an exciting brand of football. We will score the football.
More than 13 points a game,
yes.
Or 10 points a game.
I think we will be a top half in the league, top 12 in the league scoring offense.
Perfect.
And I'll take that. I'll take that all day. To me, that is
you're building.
That's a much more, and that's just the way that game needs to be played. It's just a much more entertaining brand of football, and good offenses year after year after year typically have success in the NFL. I mean, you've got to get your defense there, but typically, if you can score the ball, you'll be all right. Just like everybody's optimistic in Jacksonville. Jacksonville can score the ball. They've got that young nucleus of talented guys and Bortles and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and Julius Thomas and T.J. Yeldon, and they bring in Chris Ivory, and then they've gone through the draft now and free agency and addressed the defense. They brought in Tashaun Gibson. They drafted 2 years ago Dante Fowler Jr. He didn't get to play a snap for him, but now they get him. Then they drafted in the first round who'd they draft? The guy that was hurt but is Miles Jack.
Yes.
They got Miles Jack. So this is a team that is adding significant talent over and over and over again. And I believe they got Miles Jack, I think, with their second pick.
Correct.
They got the safety, the very good safety that people thought might go top three in the draft or number one overall in the draft at times.
Oh, yeah, out of Florida State.
Yes.
What's his name?
Look him up.
Looking.
I want to say Collins, but I don't think that's right. Anyway, they've added the pieces. Malik Jackson via free agency. As I said, get via free agency. And so they're a complete team. But you need to lay that foundation and have an identity. And I think that's something the Browns haven't had. They haven't had an offensive identity. They haven't had a defensive identity. Jalen Ramsey.
There it is.
Jalen Ramsey. That was the guy they drafted. So they've added those pieces. And I think that's going to be an interesting team. And I think if you're the Browns, you know, as a Browns fan, you want to see this team get at least one side of the ball to an elite level. And I think, quite frankly, just because it's me, offense is the more – if I'm going to be elite on one side, I'd rather have an awesome offense. I think that's fun to watch. All right, let's hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, following day one of joint practices with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You guys hot?
All right.
What do you guys have?
Overall, what did you think?
I thought we got a lot of good work. I mean, I thought both on both sides for us, all three sides, rather, special teams, offense, and defense, it's really good to come out and do this against another team. Obviously, just like I talked about, we got to handle the elements right. You know, it's a little hot, a little humid, and that's what I'm glad it is. The hotter, the better, because that's the way it's going to be as we start during the season, obviously, against Miami. So it's good to be in this situation practicing against a different team. And, again, we'll go back and watch the tape. I know there's some things we got to clean up and do better, but at the same time, I thought the work overall between both teams was really good.
Hugh, it looked like Gordon gets on the field and doesn't look like he's been gone a long time. I mean, you're getting to know him.
Yeah.
Does he look like a natural?
He does. He's a talented player, as we all know. But, you know, he's just got to keep taking the next step. You know, I think this was different for him. It's been a while since he's been real sweaty, you know, real hot, you know, in that mode. And so he's just got to keep fighting it, and we got to get him there. You know, obviously he's a ways away from getting an opportunity to truly play in a game. But, again, it was good for him to get out here and do this.
Hugh, what do you like about the tandem of him and Pryor on the field at the same time? Just, I mean, is that a matchup problem for DBs?
Well, I mean, they provide us some opportunities to do some things that we like to do. So, you know, Pryor, him, Corey, Hawk, you know, we got a lot of good guys, a lot of different pieces that we can use. So, again, those guys are just part of it. But, we got some other guys, and we just got to keep getting better.
For those of us who followed Robert's career, he wouldn't be here if you didn't believe in him. I mean, but how sure are you healthy he can return to what he was as a rookie?
How sure can I help him?
No, how sure are you that he can return to that?
Well, you never know. We haven't played a game, but I'm very comfortable and confident in what he's done thus far. He's done a great job. He did some real good things out here today. I think he's getting better each and every day. You know, again, it's good to come out and play against another team in a practice setting. Because normally we practice against our own guys. So he had to see some things differently, adjust some things, and I thought he did a good job of doing that.
Hugh, with all he's been through, what advice could he give to a Winston who's just starting his career?
Well, I think the biggest thing you would have to ask Robert, because he would have to tell you what he's been through. You know, what we try to do since he's been with us, we just put all that behind him. You know, we've just moved forward. So we don't even talk about the past anymore.
Halfway through training camp now, what do you like best about your ball club?
Well, I think we'll compete. I think our guys will work at it. You know, I just think we got to truly understand how close things are to being good and how close you are to not being so good. You know, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's the fundamentals. It's doing things right all the time. It's paying attention to detail all the time. That's what's going to give this football team a chance to win.
Here I saw Pryor beat Grimes two or three times in various different drills. Just comment on his state of progression.
He's done a great job. I mean, obviously, I'm very happy for Terrell. You know, the sky's the limit for him if he'll keep working. You know, we can never get complacent, any of those young guys. And he's a young guy playing that position, even though he's played in the National Football League at another position. But he just can't get complacent. You know, his talent, he's very talented. But at the same time, I just know there's so much more in there for him. And if he'll keep working at it, who knows what that young man can be.
Jamar Taylor showed up again today with a pick. What do you like about his game? I know we've talked a
makes
lot
plays.
About the opportunity.
He makes plays. And I didn't get a chance to see that. I can't wait to go back and watch our defense. But that's what we expect from our corners. You know, they got to get their hands on the ball. You know, it's unfortunate sometimes their defense got their hands on too many of our balls. So we need to keep getting better on both sides of the ball. Defense, we got to get turnovers. And offense, we got to prevent them.
Hugh, during a week like this, how valuable is the time away from Maria with the team, even off the field?
The bonding will be good, you know, but I'm going to trust them, you know, because if we were at home, we would normally be into our regular schedule. So we're going to meet with them, obviously, but I'm also going to give them a chance to be around each other a little bit more in a different setting. And I think that's important, too, because we need to learn how to handle this. We're going to go on the road quite a bit early, so we need to learn how to handle it and handle it right, because tomorrow we got to come back out here and do it again and get better.
Hugh, Dominique Alexander had a pick today too. He's like he's an undrafted guy that seems to be kind of climbing up that inside depth chart.
No, he is. I mean, we got guys that are working, you know, and that's the beautiful part about it. I think our guys are accepting the challenge. I'm on them every day. I promise you that. So we just got to keep rising up and understand the game's Friday. This is about practice, you know, getting better in practice, getting better fundamentally, getting better within our schemes offensively, defensively, and special teams. And then we'll test it, you know, on Friday when we get ready to play the game.
How's he fared in those preseason games?
He's done well. You know, he can run. I think we all know that. You know, he's shown that he will tackle. He's been a valuable asset on special teams. So, again, he has ability. We're glad he's here.
Could you make any observation about Corey Coleman today?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to have him back out there, you know, just running around. He made a play over in the sideline. Again, he's learning too, you know, but again, he's exactly what we thought he was. And I think he'll get better and better as we keep pushing him through it, as long as we can keep him out there. Again, those hamstrings are kind of tricky, but we'll see where he's at tomorrow, but we need him back out here
can
practicing.
Can you have all three of those guys on the field, Pryor, Gordon, and him? Isn't he the guy who's in the slot or not necessarily?
He could be. They could be all over the place. I think you guys know me. I come up with all these crazy dreams, you know, and I'll put these guys all over the place. They might be playing tackle someday. You never know. But, no, those guys afford us an opportunity to do a lot of different things, and we're just scratching the surface because, again, we got to keep them all out there. You know, sometimes you have to make amends if one's not out there, if two of them's not out there. So we'll just keep working through it. But they're talented. They're a talented trio.
How encouraging was it to see Hawk so active in his first team drills back?
Very, very. And that's what we expect from Hawk. He's one of the leaders of this team. You know, so he has to come out every day and compete with his guys. He's healthy. He's excited to be back out there and playing. And we expect that man to make plays for us.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Happy with what he saw after today's practice. Let's go back to the phone line now, 216-578-0850. We've got Bob in South Euclid with us. Bob.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. My focus and I guess what I wanted to hear about is Cam Irving Shelton. And dealing with Shelton, I'm looking at Shelton and Meter inside if we go to a 4-3 at times. And I'll just listen to you guys.
Sure. So the question about, you know, what do we see from Cam Irving and Danny Shelton today? So the first thing I'll say is, as it relates to Cam Irving, I didn't notice Cam Irving. And I think based on why we've been noticing him lately, that's a good thing. You don't want your center to necessarily stand out. So I thought he had a solid day. There certainly were no errant snaps, and there was plenty of shotgun being used by the Browns today. So I didn't notice much with him. With Danny Shelton, I think it remains a work in progress. Again, today I thought the defense did a good job. I know Tampa Bay's coach was unhappy with the performance of their offense, so I think that speaks something to what the Browns were able to do on defense. Shelton, we haven't yet seen the impact from him that we want to see. I did see him today, though, a couple times get penetration in the middle and at least collapse the front of the pocket at the point of attack, and that's something we definitely need to see more of, Gibbs.
Now, what about...
He said some interesting things the other day. Sorry, he said some interesting things the other day. And I'm like, is he not happy with the reps he's getting? Is there something more? He seemed a little agitated. I wasn't sure what it was.
I don't think he's performing the way he wants to perform.
And I think that's part of it. And I'm not ready to give up on either one of those guys yet because
no.
Both of those guys care too much. You can tell when you talk to them. They're not guys that are mailing things in that are, well, okay, it is what it is, and I'm going to collect a paycheck until I'm not employed here anymore. These guys both want to be better. Cam constantly working, and I thought he did a nice job today. There were some good holes when they were going through it. Now, the whole running game and the whole defensive front seven, it's hard to evaluate because you can't tackle.
Right.
But, you know, where you saw receivers catching on guys, you know, there were guys that were legitimately getting beat time and time again. So, Cam, I don't know, you know, he didn't.
There were no bad snaps.
Exactly.
Which is something that's important.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think if we're not talking about Cam, it's probably a good thing. And Danny Shelton, Danny knows what he's got to do. He knows. I think he's probably under a little bit of heat and a little pressure from the coaching staff. And we'll see, you know, how things go. The one thing that stood out to me, Hugh talked about it. He goes, you know, I really wish our tempo was a little quicker. Seemed like we were sluggish. I want you to know, at one point in the one period I watched, for every one play Tampa's offense was running, we were running two, almost two and a half. We were breaking the huddle. For the third one,
I
when they were
that,
snapping
to
the
watch,
ball.
Because what was – so the setup, this is – it's actually a very cool facility. They have three full-size fields side by side by side. A flag that is as big as a small country as well with the Buccaneers logo on it.
Or maybe the state of Rhode Island.
Yep. And so they had the Browns offense against the Buccaneers defense on the middle field. And then the far right, which is where they have a very nice bleacher, covered bleacher setup, was the Buccaneers offense versus the Browns defense. And they were going at the same time. And to your point, the Browns offense – it stood out because you would watch a Browns offensive play,
yeah,
and then you go to watch the Browns defense play, and then oftentimes you were able to watch another Browns offensive play before the Bucs even got their offensive playoff. So I thought, you're right, that was very interesting. And, you know, this is a team, first of all, Tampa Bay is used to this heat, but the Browns were moving at a great pace. And what I like, it still wasn't good enough for Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
That still wasn't
we
the pace
be
that
better.
We want. We still have to be better and chasing greatness, and that's what it's about. Good enough is never going to be good enough for Hugh Jackson. When we come back, we'll be joined by Sir Andrew Gribble, ClevelandBrowns.com senior staff writer. That's coming up next here from Tampa.
Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, live and on location.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live here in Tampa, Florida, at the Buccaneers facility where the Browns and the Bucs concluded their first of two joint practices today, the only one in pads before they go to battle in preseason game number three at Raymond James Stadium. Joining me now on the Ohio Business Machines hotline, ClevelandBrowns.com senior staff writer, Sir Andrew Gribble. What's up, Gribbs?
What's going on, guys?
Gribbs, your thoughts today on the first joint practice between the Browns and the Bucks?
It was hot. I'll start at that. I mean,
it was real hot.
I mean, that's nothing you can simulate in Berea, even when you're having a summer like Cleveland has had with really hot temperatures throughout training camp. It's just a different kind of heat, and I think it's important because you're putting the players to the test in a season where they're going to have to go to Miami week three. And that's no joke. I mean, that's going to be a really warm weather game that they're going to have to be ready for. So I think that was good. And I thought the players, for the most part, held up pretty well from that standpoint. You didn't see guys dropping like flies. And I thought that, you know.
Yes, you had an over-under on people that were going to be knocked out by the
I think it was way under. And I think the most encouraging thing was I was seeing their best football being played at the end of practice. It
Agreed.
Seemed like they were getting better as the practice was going on, both offensively and defensively. And I think it was a night and day experience from last year in Buffalo. I think that is something that stood out as well. They came ready. They came prepared. I think it comes at a good time after feeling pretty good offensively in a preseason game against Atlanta. And I think that they had some success on both sides of the ball, but plenty of back and forth. And I think that, you know, Tampa Bay is a team that's picked by most people to be potentially a fringe playoff team. They should be, they've been built for that. They're maybe a year or so ahead personnel wise with the regime that they have in place, getting their plan in place. But I think the Browns represented themselves well today.
Well, I love that you said that because now you've had, I said it was night and day. Gibbs said it was night and day. You said night and day compared to that experience in Buffalo, which was an eye-opener in a very bad way. Today, I thought was an eye-opener in a positive way. I thought you look at the pieces on – let's just take the Buccaneers defense. Gerald McCoy, one of the best guys up front. You've got Lavonte David, one of the best linebackers in the league. And then out wide, the cornerback trio of Grimes, Altron Werner, and Vernon Hargraves III is one of the better ones in the National Football League. And I thought offensively – now, Hargraves did get an interception from RG3, but I thought offensively for the day on a whole, high completion percentage in great rhythm, guys getting open. Terrell Pryor looked good. Gordon looked good. Coleman looked good. It just seemed like everything was clicking.
Yeah, and I'll just even make it simpler than that. I think it's the fact that the team's healthy. And I think last year when they went to Rochester to face the Bills, I mean, you had a ton of guys on the sidelines. And maybe had this practice fallen a week earlier, it might have been the same thing because it's like that second week of training camp / preseason game, maybe third week of training camp, you start seeing a lot of guys banged up and they can't get out there. But now it seems like the Browns are just healing at the right time. You didn't see it. I think only a handful of guys are currently out right now, and really most of your main players are out in the field and getting some really good work. I mean, this time last year, you were dealing with guys like Joe Hayden on the sidelines, many, many more, and that just made a roster that was set up to potentially be 3-13 or a little better had some things broken their way, and they were without some of their best players last year. I just think you've got a better product out there and a more competent group too.
And it was the first time that we have ever been able to see Terrell Pryor, Andrew Hawkins, Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman all on the field against another opponent this entire year. What were your takeaways from that receiver group? And let's just start with the big fella, number 12, Josh Gordon.
Well, it's just an impressive group. And I think that, you know, Josh Gordon looks like he's, especially you see him out in the practice field, he looks like he's back to normal. In great shape, I think, and I don't think that's a concern. I think he was maybe a little bit more winded than some of the other guys because he really hasn't gone up against this kind of competition in a couple of years. But yeah, it's just today it was kind of I saw a lot of Pryor and Gordon with the ones. I think we're still not seeing maybe Corey Coleman at 100%. This was really his first full go practice since that scrimmage back in Berea a few weeks ago. So it'll be interesting to see what he looks like by Friday's game, and it's just something. You know, I think the Hugh Jackson comment after practice was perfect that he dreams of stuff all night with his offense. And I think that when you have all those guys together and kind of just such a professional that can work as effectively in the slot as Andrew Hawkins can, you've got a lot of possibilities there. And I think that you're going up against a really good group of defensive backs today. And you know, they made their plays. Hargraves made a few plays out there, but I think it was a really good back and forth, which is what you want to see in this kind of setting.
Absolutely, and I thought it was a good back and forth. On the other side, this is the first opportunity for us in a long time to have seen Joe Hayden against other competition, and I thought he looked good. And it was just all of a sudden, it was like, man, there's some talent on this field for the Browns.
Yeah, and it really kind of allows you to just have your group settled. I think that on the other side of the field, you're seeing Jamar Taylor, and that's working in
really
that spot
step
where
up.
Kamon Williams is working. And I think that, you know, he has earned that by his performance. He's not just kind of moved into that position by default. I think he's played his way into that role. And, you know, you look at these wide receivers that Tampa Bay has, and Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans. These are the kind of wide receivers that Joe Hayden likes defending. I mean, these are the big, tall guys that he tends to do very well against. And I think it was good to just see him fully active in this 11-on-11. Because I think that, you know, a lot of fans have gotten maybe a little impatient because it seems like Joe's been out for a while. But this has been the plan all along. I think to work him back methodically and slowly and get him to the point where he can not only be healthy, but also getting some good reps and potentially some work in a preseason game to kind of be in the right place both mentally and physically going into the season. I just think it just settles down your whole secondary just to have a veteran that's as effective as Joe Hayden out there when you're also dealing with two safeties who are relatively new starters, if not brand new starters. So it's going to be some ups and downs in the secondary, but having Joe Hayden out there always helps.
It helped, and I'll tell you what, the play of Jamar Taylor, I think, has been one of the big stories of camp. I think when you look at the wide receiver and cornerback positions, you had a guy in Jamar Taylor, former second-round pick. Basically, I mean, when you're giving away to move a few spots up in the seventh round in the NFL draft, that's saying that basically they just wanted to get rid of Jamar Taylor, and he's been revitalized and looks like a guy who could be a starter for this team at corner. And then on the other side, Terrell Pryor, it's like they're developing guys that have innate talent, and they're getting the best out of them. And I think that's something that's exciting for a Browns fan, because the truth of the matter is when you draft 14 guys, and we're going to draft another dozen or so next year, you need to develop your young talent if you ever want to be good. And I think the development of some of these guys has been one of the big stories this offseason.
Yeah, and I think with Taylor, the good thing that they did with him was they really put him in a position to succeed right away, in that they evaluated him and saw that he has some skills that really fit well at nickel. And I think he showed that and kind of earned that job through the first couple weeks and showed he was the top guy at that position. And now you move him out to the outside corner spot, the spot where he struggled with at Miami, and now he's riding a lot of confidence, goes out there and continues to make plays. And I think that's what Hugh Jackson said after practice. He just keeps making plays and gets his hands on the ball. I mean, you look back at the preseason game, he made a play in that game, a diving pass deflection that stopped an Atlanta drive
yes.
and gave the ball back to the Browns. I mean, that's exactly what you want out of a defensive back. I mean, just the reaction and ability to step up and make plays no matter where you're on the field. And I think that's what makes it's good to see a guy go out and earn a job. And I think that you've seen it at linebacker as well. You've seen Dominique Alexander
move up interception
today to the second team as well. I mean, he's making plays out there as well and making a decision coming up very hard for this regime to get an undrafted guy on this roster. But certainly,
I think he's
in a great position.
I think he's making it easy. I think, and Tank Carter's making it easy. Tank Carter's had a phenomenal camp and a phenomenal preseason. And I think right now, when you look at those backup inside linebackers, I think it's going to be Tank Carter. And I think it's going to be Dominique Alexander. And Scooby Wright's shown things. I don't know if that means practice squad or if he can sneak in. I still don't know what's going to happen with Mingo. But all of a sudden, there's some tough decisions because people are playing well, which is certainly a good thing to see for this Cleveland Browns team. Gribbs, what is it that you, when you heard the rumor, the Josh Gordon non-story today, and then getting to hear Josh, which we're going to play shortly on this show, basically saying, I want to be a Brown, and the report back to Schefter was, look, the Browns have no interest in trading him. They think they've got the right environment for him to be here. It just seems like it's a different Josh Gordon. We know it's a different Browns organization, and that the chances for this to line up for success seem very high.
I say it's just working out well right now, and I think that was part of the you know, when the NFL announced that he was coming back, I mean, I think the Browns seemed to be a big part in that. I mean, the fact that they were putting him back into a support system that was maybe going to put him in the best possible situation. And then I wasn't surprised at all by Josh Gordon's answer, because he you can just see it on his face emotionally, and kind of just, he's just a happy guy out there around a lot of teammates that really seem to have embraced him and welcomed him back. And some guys that he has a history with, like Terrell Pryor, the fact they worked out a year ago and during the offseason, I think that's helped him get more comfortable. You have the Baylor connection with Corey Coleman, even though you never played there. There's always going to be a connection when you go to the same school as them. And then Robert Griffin III as well. I just think he has things lined up football-wise for him to maximize his success when he's able to come back, and a coaching staff that's able to maximize his success. And then now it's still on him to take care of business off the field. And that's going to be something, no matter where he goes, he still has to do that. But he's in a good spot with everything else with the Browns.
Gribbs, today I spent a lot of time watching the offense. I did watch the defense a little bit, and I was pleased with what I saw against what I think is a good offense. And granted, the Buccaneers made some plays. Mike Evans with a bomb, but they're a good offense. That's a talented group there. From the run defense perspective today, I know they weren't fully tackling to the ground, but what did you think that you saw today? Anything encouraging?
Yeah, it's just tough. I mean, I think that the thing I've noticed with the run defense so far, and it just seems like there's different problems with this run defense, what we've seen so far in the preseason, than maybe what we saw last year. I won't point to one positive, and maybe this is something you can work in the right direction. I don't think we're seeing the same problems with setting the edge, which I think was maybe a bit of a problem, a big problem throughout last year and even years before that. It seems like the problems are just in terms of it's tackling, and it seems like teams are going through the middle with kind of these zone shifts and everything like that and throwing off the defensive line. It's something they're just going to have to get better at, or they're going to continue to get attacked. I wonder if the Buccaneers will take that same strategy into this dress rehearsal game, because I think last year in this game, and maybe this is why the Browns did so well, it just seemed like Tampa Bay wanted to set up Jameis to do everything and wanted to see what they had in him as a rookie quarterback, and he didn't do so well. And I think the Browns really thrived because of that, and Tampa Bay's offensive line was kind of a mess at that point as well. So I'll be interested to see if they really are going to go heavy on Doug Martin against the Browns, or if they really even need to see that, or if they're going to go pass heavy as well. I would lean toward pass heavy, because I think you know what you've got in Doug Martin and that rushing attack. There's no point in kind of just grinding against the Browns. I see them trying to attack the Browns through the air, so that's a good test for Joe Hayden and others in the secondary as well.
Yes, the team has got Jameis Winston at wide receiver. It's got Mike Evans. It has got Vincent Jackson. So a lot of talent on that side of the ball, certainly for this Buccaneers team. One battle that I think is starting to come in focus, and could come in focus as early as the 75 trim down after this game, is the kicker battle. And everybody listening to the show knows I love Travis Coons, but he struggled again today. And Patrick Murray's been nothing short of perfect.
Yeah, and it was he made all four of his field goals today, and in a familiar surroundings. And you know, I don't know if you guys have talked about what's going on with Tampa Bay's kicking situation.
Oh my! Well, I mentioned that Aguayo kicked one into the ground today, which was
ugly. I think it was interesting to see. I've seen some Tampa Bay writers talking about how, you know, Murray, it's just a polar opposite to what's going on kicking wise, but. You know, I that is an interesting point about if this is going to be decided before the 75 cutdown, because as Tabor always says, I mean, the special teams are at the bottom of the roster number-wise, and they got to deal with what they got, because you're evaluating so many other positions on the roster when the number's starting to get crunched. But, you know, Murray's had a really, really good preseason. I still think there's a lot of confidence in Coons, and I think that these preseason kicks mean a lot. I think that's clear, but – you know, they can't just evaluate on those kicks, because the opportunities have been so slim. And with the way the offense has not been running a ton of plays, there haven't been a ton of kicking opportunities for either of these guys. I mean, if you want to read into it, though, it just seems like Murray's been the first one to get those opportunities in the game. Maybe that's because they really want to see what they have in him, because they're confident in Coons, or maybe that's just the pecking order right now. I think it's a hard read, but I think we talked to Murray on Sunday. He's a confident guy, and I think that he never treated this opportunity as kind of a token opportunity. I think he's taken it seriously from the moment he got to Berea, and I think he's made the most, but he's got a good leg, and he's done everything he can to make this a tough decision. And I still think at the end of the day, it's a tough decision. I don't think it's as clear-cut right now as some might think.
All right, that's Sir Andrew Gribble. We'll have you covered on everything from Tampa at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. We'll see you out here in hot Tampa tomorrow, Gribbs.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. When we come back, we're going to hear from Josh Gordon, the Browns wide receiver, spoke with the media after practice. Then we're going to get a break in. And, of course, we're going to kick off our second hour with a historic guest making his debut, at least with me, on CBD. There ain't no
secrets anymore. My name's been hanging on the hook outside your door, just an old eyesore. I got this feeling I can't keep it down anymore. Bring me some healing, Saint Cecilia, carry me home.
Live from Tampa, Florida, Jason Gibbs, Nathan Zagura. Zagura had to do something real quick for TV. He's stepping out. While he steps out, we bring in Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon, who talked to the media immediately after practice today. And Gordon addressing a number of things, including his first action in quite some time as a member of the Cleveland Browns.
Josh, there are reports today that multiple teams have inquired about training for you, and the Browns have said they're not interested in training you. So what do you make of both sides of that?
I really can't even comment on that. I'm not really sure. I haven't heard too much about it. You know, Cleveland is my team. That's where I want to be. Everything like that, that's not even in the ballpark for me. I'm not really sure how that works.
There was a time that you've talked about it, you weren't sure if you'd be welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
For the Browns to say, we have no interest in trading this guy, what does that mean to you after everything you've been through?
Well, I think it works out perfectly for me. You know, Mr. Haslam and the organization, Coach Jackson, you know, I think the world of those guys in this city and this organization. Apparently they're showing the love and respect back to me by honoring me to stay here. Up to this point, and expect to move forward with that. And I'm excited about this, who I want to be, and I'm happy to be with Cleveland.
What do you get out of these two practices today and tomorrow?
Oh, we get a big deal, a big experience, I think. Just especially in the heat, the environment, getting used to that, getting in shape, all the guys learning how it's going to be in a real game. This is probably the closest you're going to get to it, in the most extreme situation. I think it's good for experience for everybody to have, more than anything, experience.
How did you hold up cardio-wise? I mean, it was just getting back on the field. This was a really hot day. It was good for you?
It was very good. I really liked it. I think it was great for me. I felt great, felt fine. A lot of sweat, so I knew some was working. And I felt good.
How many pounds you figure to lose this week?
I think we all lose a bunch. I think everybody that came out here lost some. Yeah.
Josh, how valuable will it be Friday if you're able to get in there and make your preseason debut and work some of the kinks out?
It'd be great. You know, I'm working the kinks out here at practice and back at home in Cleveland as much as possible to get ready for Friday and for next week, and going into the season. So I think hopefully I can pick up. We left off of practice out here, and things will go smoothly on Friday.
What about the notion of getting you and Corey Coleman and Terrell Pryor all on the field at the same time?
I think that's great. You know, if we could all get out there, we've got a bunch of receivers. We're very deep, very fast, big guys, versatile guys. It's a great thing to have that much ability in one room and on one team. I think Coach Jackson knows what he's doing, by facilitating the ball around, getting it to guys he wants to make certain plays and just putting the trust in everybody. And I think we have to give that back to him and show him what we can do.
So you got time for a couple more? You and Terrell out there together as a tandem a lot today. Does this size just, do you think the size just gives you guys makes you guys a matchup problem automatically?
Most definitely. I mean, you don't see too many DBs over 6'2", so it's definitely a size advantage, that's for sure. But we expect the best from the other team. We expect the one-on-ones to go against it and give us their best, and we're going to give our best to them, and we want that type of competition out here, and that's what we expect, that's what we're looking for, to get better.
Is there any frustration that, you do get to be out here with these guys now, but then you're going to have to wait a month once the season starts to actually get on the field with these guys again?
No, I'm really just happy just to be back. All things considered, I'm grateful to be back at practice anything and every day. What I get to do, wake up with the team, play or not, I'm glad just to be here.
Josh, back last summer when you and Terrell were working out a little bit at the Randy Moss Academy, I had Browns talked to him. He talked about how you guys kind of dreamed of this day where you guys would be here playing for the Browns together. Is it almost, you know, surreal that it's actually happening, and how does it feel?
Oh, man, TP's a great guy. Randy Moss, a great mentor to both of us. We learned a great deal. Even working out with Mike Evans when we were out there all together. We talked about it, thought about it, didn't know how long he was going to stay in Cleveland and whatnot, but it ended up working out, him staying and him developing into such a great receiver. And I think he can only get better. And I'm excited. He's excited. And it really is a dream come true. But we never thought that that would happen. So very grateful, very blessed. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun and make the most out of it and give some of the Browns fans to look forward to and make a lot of big plays.
Can you see the end product of Hugh Jackson's offense yet? Do you know what it's going to look like?
In my mind, I think I do. And I think so does Coach Jackson and Pep.
What do you see?
We see a bright future. We can envision a lot of downfield passing, that's for sure. We can throw the ball. I'm not for sure how much we want to do in preseason, but I know that's what we work on in practice. And we got the ability and the talent to stretch the field in every direction.
That's Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon just off the practice field about an hour and a half ago. And the Browns, just because they're done practicing does not mean the day is over. Guys have lifting, meetings, lots of tape to watch, all that, and a full day coming for the Browns as they get ready for day number two in Tampa here tomorrow. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, Nathan Zagura and a special guest joining Nathan Zagura when Cleveland Browns Daily returns on ESPN 850 WKNR.